Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Have you checked your growth over the years? This is 30 years of experience here in this locality of the ministry of the Christ. How far have you gone along the pathway of life? There's a highway today. On that highway, there's a people that are moving on to perfection. How far have you gone? I want to take you on a journey today with me. Are you prepared to follow on this journey? Well, let me tell you where it starts, because somehow I think that perhaps we didn't quite start at the beginning. We jumped onto that road somewhere along the highway. I want you to come with me today as we start at the beginning of this wonderful walk into the perfection of Christ. So I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians. And we're going to look at a chapter here and some of the things that the Father is teaching us. I find in my experience that what I knew last year when I was here has now expanded. And if it didn't, I would not be traveling, because we can just rehash the old messages over and over and over, and you know, we can do that, and people say, well, it's okay, Des, you only need one message, you see, and then you go to each place and you preach that message and it's okay, because you're speaking to different peoples. I want you to know that no two messages are exactly the same. Even if the subject is the same, it doesn't matter. We're going to start a journey tonight that starts in death. Are you happy with that? Because I want to tell you something. If you think you're going to walk on into this life everlasting, you're going to have to come through death to get in there. Are you hearing this? There is no life until there has been a death. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I know everybody here today would like to have that house, wouldn't you? The house which is from heaven. I'm not talking about going to heaven. I said the house which is from heaven, which you can live in today on this earth.
Yes.
You'd like to have that one, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Well, it's the same story, because you have to die to get it. But here is the story, though. Here is the answer for today. It says that if the earthly house of our tabernacle were dissolved. Well, I like to do word studies in the Bible, because I find some very interesting things. The word dissolved there is a Greek word which means to separate two things that have been joined together. Well, what two things have been joined together that's kept us from walking on that highway of God into perfection? What is it? It's the fact that our carnal mind, the soul, has taken control of our body. And what is the result? Migraine headaches, toothache, maybe lots of other things as well, and maybe just cancer thrown in for good measure. You see? This soul, this mind, has taken control of our body. Now wait a minute. Didn't I hear you say that Christ dwells in you? Well, how can Christ dwell in you and you're in charge of your body? Your soul is. Because that means that your body is not an instrument in the hand of the Lord. You're the one that's the pilot. You've got the steering wheel and you're directing your life the way you want it to live. The best you can. Some things you can't change. But the things you can, that's the way you pick out the pathway for your life. But the soul has to be put out of business. And that's why I'm going to take you on a journey. But we're going to step into the darkness before we see the light. I want to tell you, there is no life in Christ until there is a death. This is very important. You know, we don't like to talk about death, do we? Well, let's see what it says here. It says in verse 2, in this body we groan. I said, tell me about it, Paul. I know all about this groaning. Last year, I had a problem that just about beat me altogether. The pain was unbearable. Praise the Lord, that's not with me today. In this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house from heaven. Well, of course, that's what we all want, isn't it? Many Christians believe that you've got to die and then you go to heaven, and that's when you're going to get all these good things. Well, I've got news for you, because you can have the good things today if you're willing to follow me. It says here in verse 4, we that are in this tabernacle or this body, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed. To be unclothed means to be dead. No, we don't want to be dead. We want life. God, give us life. And that's the cry today of God's people, give us life. He says, well, wait a minute. You can't put the horse before the cart. I mean the cart before the horse. Because that's the way we've done it. We've put the horse in the front and he's pulling the cart. But you see, it says here, we're in this tabernacle, this body, we groan, but we want to be clothed with immortality. Well, the Apostle Paul said, this mortal must put on immortality. It must. Have you put on immortality yet? Let me ask you another question. Have you ever met an immortal? Uh-huh. You've never met an immortal? What's going on in the world? Immortality is part of the gospel.
Yes, it is.
Why aren't we immortal? Because we love singing about it, but we're not going to walk it. Because the walk is into death. So it says here, in verse 6, now, when I was pastoring, I conducted a lot of funerals. And in every funeral, we used this verse. Because it was very appropriate, you see. It says, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. You understand that, don't you? What's he talking about? Knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. But in the funeral service, you see, there's a coffin out here. And the lid has been off, and all the relations and friends and all have walked past there and said their goodbyes to Uncle Joe. He's in there. And at that appropriate moment, you see, as the pastor, I would stand up and say, dear Uncle Joe, he is now absent from his body and he's present with the Lord. And everybody said, amen. That is not what God is saying to you. Are you hearing this?
Yes.
That verse has been used in funerals ever since I was that high. And it was never understood. I knew it was never understood the way in which it was used. Listen to me. God wants to tell you something today. He says here that we are confident, that is, we're not guessing this. This is not the personal opinion of Des Walter. This we know to be a truth and a fact. Is that while you are at home in your body, you are absent from the Lord. God help us today. Lord, speak into our spirit today. Father, open the ears of our understanding and speak directly into the spirit of our true being. Because, Father, these ears have heard so much which has nothing to do with the reality of our life. But we've heard it and we've said, that's wonderful. We pick it up. Yes, that's what we want. Thank you, Lord, we've got it. Now we heard it. But we didn't get it at all. Today, I want you to walk the pathway which will lead you onto this life everlasting. And then you can become one of the immortals. Because that's what God intended. In fact, that was the gospel for the world today. To be immortal and have a body of incorruption. That is, no corruption whatsoever in our body. So, how do we get this? Are you absent from your body today? You're sitting right there. And the Christ is in there. And that's how it is. When you go out shopping, Christ is in there. But you go shopping. When you go out to dinner, to lunch, or whatever, you go and you're there. Well, yes, but you take Christ because he's in here. You're not absent from the body. Therefore, you cannot be present with the Lord. Because while you are present with your body, until you are absent from it, you cannot be the other person that God says you are. When I was born into this world, my mother and father looked at me and said, yes, well, we're going to have to get a name for this one. What are we going to call this one? And they said, well, we're going to call him Harold, you see. Well, because unfortunately, that was the name of my father also. So when my mother called out Harold, I didn't know whether that was me she wanted or my father. So the confusion got to the place where they said, oh, we're going to have to fix this. So I'm always being called by my second name, Desmond. But see, if I have to sign my name, it's H.D. Walter, not D. Walter. So, this is me. This is me. When I look in the mirror, this is me. But I say, but Christ is living in here. No. Well, yes, in a way, he is living in there, but he's not a part of me. Because I grew up, and all of the things that I wanted to do, and the things that I really wanted to learn and to become and so on, all of these things, this was me. And today we've got Christians all over the world who are trying to turn the me into Christ, and you're wasting your time because you cannot do that. The Christ that's walking in me today, or that's living in me today, is the Christ that walked on this earth 2,000 years ago. You see? And what did he do? Well, he's walking around and he's just healing the sick. He's making the lame to walk. He's making the blind to see. I mean, he's just stopping the storm. He can walk on the water. He can do anything. Can you do anything today? Can I do anything today? Not really. There's limitations. But I know that Christ is living in me, but you know that Christ is living in you too. It's not a question of knowing whether Christ is in you or not. It's a question of, are you living in your body, or are you living in the Christ? I didn't say with the Christ, because that's what you're doing today. You're living with Christ. It's so good, isn't it? To go out and tell people, you know, Christ is living in me. Isn't it wonderful? The Christ of God, I mean, that made the heavens and the earth, this Christ who is one with God. He was there in creation creating the heavens and the earth and all these wonderful things. And he's dwelling in me. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, it is wonderful, isn't it? But you're still living in your body. Christ is not who you are. Christ is what you want to be. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Are you all asleep? You awake? Come on. I want you awake this morning because God wants to do something for you to set you free. So now, if we are at home in the body, that is, if we are still living out of the reality of what I was born to be into this world, then you're absent from the Lord. He doesn't want to live with you. Get this in your mind?
Yes.
Christ does not want to live with you. He wants you to live in him. Not in your body, but in the Christ.
Yes.
Are you hearing this?
Yes.
How can you do that? How can you be in Christ? Well, it's very simple. Because Christ is spirit. If Christ was a man, then none of us could live in him. But because he is spirit, I can live in him. Because I was created spirit in the beginning. You understand this? When God said, let us make man, there's man. He's right there, but he is spirit, not a body. That's you. You were spirit in creation. So now, this spirit that you were in creation is still in you. But you don't know that spirit. Why? Because you've never experienced what it is to live as a spirit. I mean, when Jesus Christ was on the earth, 5,000 people followed him out there into the wilderness. And when they get all out there, everybody's tired and they've been walking for quite a while. And so Jesus says to them, Jesus Christ said to the disciples, okay, tell them to sit down, we're going to have lunch now. Master, what are you trying to do? You know we've got 5,000 people here. Do you understand that it takes truckloads of bread to even give them a little bit to eat? What are you talking about, we're going to have lunch? He said, just tell them to sit down, we're going to have lunch. So they all sit down. The disciples are wondering. He said, what have you got? What have we got? Well, I mean, we didn't come out here with a hamper or a basket full of food, you know, for lunch. We've got nothing here. And suddenly somebody said, well, there's a boy here. He's got 5 little sandwiches probably for his own lunch and 2 little fish. But you know, you got 5,000 people out there, Lord. What are you going to do? He said, just tell them to sit down. So they all sat down. Give me those 5 little loaves, that's all, that'll do, and the 2 little fish. And he began to break that bread. And as he broke that bread, he was filling baskets. I don't know where they got them from, but they were filling baskets. And he said to the first disciple, here, you pick up that and start to go out there. Start at the back of the crowd. And then he was kept on, you see. There were 12 disciples that saw 5,000 people being fed with bread. They didn't understand where it came from, but none of them saw the miracle. Hello. Have you ever seen the miracles that Jesus did? You see? No, you see what he did, but you don't see the miracle. What he did was not the miracle. Putting the bread in the baskets wasn't the miracle. It was where the bread came from. It's the unseen part of a miracle that we've never seen. And we don't understand. How could I possibly feed 5,000 people when I don't even understand where in the world did that bread come from? You see? Because it didn't come from Des Walter. I mean, I have no capacity at all to break a little sandwich up into a bread that can feed 5,000 people. I can't do that. Des Walter can't do that. But there's somebody in here who can do it. Because he's already done it. I've read about him in the book. And you've read about him in the book. And you've said, why, isn't that wonderful? You know, Jesus Christ can feed 5,000 people. He's got nothing there except these 5 little sandwiches. And even if he didn't have that, it wouldn't have made any difference anyway. He would still have been putting the bread in the baskets. Why? Because he's the creator of all things. Yes. Are you hearing this? This is the first year when I've been able to preach this. And yet it was 2 years ago when God started to teach me. And the reason for that is that I have to see the miracle first. I have to know how this really functions before I can tell you. But you see, all of the miracles of Jesus I mean, he's a man with a withered arm. Well, Jesus doesn't say, well, now, I think you've got a problem with a muscle up here or something. There's a tendon there that's hooked up. It's not right. Look, I'm going to straighten it out for you. No. He just said, sir, just straighten your arm out. Shoot it. And the arm shot out, and he said, but I can't do that. And Jesus just kept on walking. But he had done it. He'd done it. How did that happen? You mean to say that there's a man walking on the street there that can straighten out a man's arm that's been crippled somehow or other? Yes. You mean that there's somebody living in me that can feed 5,000 people without having any supplies? Yes. But see, I've been living in my body. I've been living out of what Des Walter is, what he can do. I have a mind. I study the Bible. I get it into my mind, and Father helps me and teaches me things and so on. And so I become intelligent spiritually. I become intelligent, that is, I learn certain things about the Spirit. Not everything, but I learn some things. And little by little, I've been trying to put this into practice. But today, I want you to understand the difference between living in your body and living in the Christ. I didn't say with the Christ. You see, we believe that Christ comes into our life to help us. And that when we want to do something, it's the Christ says, okay, now I know you can't do this, but I'm going to, see, give me your hands, and I'll use your hands. No, it's more than that. It's more than that. Can you hear this? It's when the Christ starts to live the life of Des Walter that things start to change. When he becomes who I am. Not Des Walter trying to become the Christ, but I am the Christ. That's the difference. And this is the reason why today Christianity has never made an impact upon the world. It's never changed anything. And I'm not telling you today that I have it all, and that I've made it and you haven't. I'm telling you I'm on the road, but I want you to follow me, because we're going to walk a dark walk at the beginning. Because I'm going to tell you, there's only one way that you can change from being the Des Walter of your being, whatever that is, to become the Christ. There's only one way, and that is that the Des Walter part has got to die. And I'm telling you today that unless you die, you will never become the Christ. It's impossible. So we're going to turn over to John's Gospel. I don't know how long this is going to take today, but John's Gospel, chapter 18. And Jesus Christ is before Pilate. And Pilate says to him, verse 35, Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation, the chief priests, have delivered you unto me. What have you done? And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. Why is it not of this world? Because it's a spiritual kingdom. therefore it can't be part of this world. And therefore, he said, my friends, my disciples would fight that I should be delivered from the Jews. But now, my kingdom is not from this world, therefore, there's no fighting to be done down here at all. Pilate said to him, therefore, are you a king then? And Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth hears my voice. To this end was I born. This Christ in you is the King. Do you mean to say that I can dictate to the King and tell him what to do? I don't think so. People say, would you pray for me and ask God to heal me? I said, no, I will not. I said, that's back to front. I can't go tell God what to do. Come on. He tells me what to do. This is so important. So now, Pilate says in verse 38, I find in him no fault at all. And so when they cried out and said, give us Barabbas and crucify Christ, that would have made them happy, the Jews. They would have been very happy. And that's exactly what happened. So it says, Pilate took therefore Jesus and scourged him. That is, they beat his back with the 40 stripes that could kill a man. And he never even opened his mouth. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe. And they said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. This is the King. This is the Christ of God. This is the one who created the heavens and the earth. But they're going to crucify him. They're going to kill him. Well, that's what they thought. So Jesus came forth, verse 5, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate says, Behold the man. Because he didn't understand. Behold the man. And yet he was the man. He was the man that was created in Genesis 1:26. That was the man, and now Pilate's committed him to the cross. It's almost laughable, isn't it? But this is the way. This is the way. So we're following now. Because you and I have to follow the footsteps of the Christ. And where are we headed? You're not headed, for the high road to heaven. You're on a road that's going to lead you up a hill to a cross. Come on, you listening to this?
Yes.
You're on a road that's going to lead you to a cross and death. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you happy about this? I mean, is this okay? Because you can stay back if you want to. But Jesus was a man on a mission. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane when his father said to him, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to become one with these people. That is all of humanity that's on this earth, all of them. I want you to become one with them. And then I want you to take them into death. Not into life, into death. Oh Lord, help us here. And so, here's Jesus walking up the Dolorosa, the road, the pathway to the cross. I don't think he's smiling. I don't think he's laughing. I think he's very sad as he looks out and sees humanity. But he has become one with all of humanity. And when I say all, I mean all. There were no exceptions. When he went to that cross, he took every single person that has ever been born on this earth or will ever be born on this earth. They were in him. He's on a mission. He's on a mission. He could have called down 12 legions of angels, but he didn't. He could have wiped out the whole Roman army and everything else, but he didn't. Why? Because he loved you, and he wanted to set you free from your humanity. That's what it was all about. Your humanity, to get rid of it. And so that you could become who God says you are. This is it. So he gets to the top of the hill there, and he's exhausted. So they get somebody to help him to carry that. He had to carry that cross. He himself, after being scourged and the crown of thorns on his head, he's bleeding from his head, and his back is just red raw. I mean, it's just bleeding all over. And somebody helped him to carry that cross. Would you help him? Would you help him today to carry that cross? Because I want to tell you, you're headed for the same cross. So when they laid that cross down on the ground, they laid Jesus Christ on that cross with his hands outstretched, and they drove the nails through his hands and into the cross, and then through his feet another nail, and then they picked that cross up and they dropped it into the hole and put the soil there to make it stand up. And there's the King of Glory. This is the King over all the kings of the earth. This is the Lord of Glory on that cross. And what was he going to do? He was there to die. Nobody gets down off the cross until they're dead. And they have to be taken off the cross. Now I want you to have another look. Because you're not doing a trip to Palestine today, like many of the Christians do from Australia. They run these trips quite regularly, and a whole bunch of them go over there. And somebody said to me one day, Des, wouldn't you like to go over there to the promised land, or to Jerusalem and see where Jesus walked? I said, what do you mean? Well, to see where Jesus walked. I said, this is where Jesus is walking now. Amen. Come on.
Hallelujah.
I don't have to go over there to see where he walked. And you wouldn't even know because, it's all a tourist gimmick, most of it. And they tell you, well, this is where he went. This is where he did this and this is where he did that. And this is the place where he died and this is the place where his body was put. Oh, God help us. Is that all that it's all about? Is this all that Jesus Christ came to the earth to do? Just to create a place for tourists to go from all over the world and say, this is where Jesus died. Isn't that wonderful? Lord help us. So, I want you to have another look. See, last time I looked, you know, some time ago now, I looked up there and I looked into the face of Jesus Christ. And I said, Lord, you know I love you because you died there for me. You took my place there. And I felt quite happy. Well, when I say happy, I wasn't happy that he was dying there, but I was happy because of the result. Because he died instead of me. Well, that went on for a few years, and I used to love that little kind of interlude, just to sit there. And in my imagination, I'm seeing the cross, and I see the cross, and I say, Lord, thank you. I want to tell you it's a different picture today. You know why? Because that's me on that cross. That's you on that cross. That's you. He did not go instead of you. He took you with him to that cross. And I want to tell you, those nails went through your hands. And the nail went through your feet as well. And you're on there. You've got a crown of thorns on your head. But you said, no, Lord, you're going to put a crown of glory on my head. You know, you were going to glorify me. I don't want a crown of thorns on my head. He says, son, until you die, you are not going to see the glory of God in the reality of who you are. This is it. Are you hearing this?
Amen.
Lord help us. If you can't see your face in the face of that man nailed to the cross, you'll never die. But when you see your face there, that is you. He did not die instead of you, but he became what you are and took us, every single one. Every person that's ever been born on this planet or ever will be born was in him that day on that cross. No exceptions. The murderers, yes, they're there too. The people that are in prison today because they've done some terrible deed, they're there too. There are no exceptions. He took everybody to the cross. Why? Because he wanted you to live, but you can't live until you die. Lord, help us. Well, what was the cross really about? Is it to get us to heaven? No, that wasn't the reason.